Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host, and we have another exciting episode for you here on the Deen Show. Not only a historian, but one who has accepted Islam from a Greek background. He didn't become a Turk. He became one who has submitted to the will of God. Dr. Steph Geddes here on the Deen Show to clear many misconceptions up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum, Shay, Dr. Steph.
Alaikum assalam, jazakallah khair.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, fine, alhamdulillah.
I'm very excited to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited
now,
being here.
I mentioned something that's very important, because in this part of the world that I'll be traveling to soon, Bosnia, you have Croatians, Serbians, you have Greeks who are neighbors there, and many times we see people when they're searching to know the purpose of life. They come, if they're sincere, and they ask the Creator who created life, they ask them sincerely, why am I here? Why have I been created? People looking at all the evidence that Islam provides, because it's not obviously blind faith, they really take a scientific, analytical approach, like you did, and they end up becoming Muslims, ones who have submitted to the will of God. But why is this now, and we'll be talking about this, that many people in that part of the world, as soon as you become a Muslim, they start labeling you a Turk?
Well, first of all, exactly for the same reason why I became Muslim, history. We should never forget that there's a connection. History, current affairs, what's happening around us. You mentioned Bosnia, the whole breakup of Yugoslavia. That all has to do with history. If you look at, you have to understand why people believe or think the way that they think. And if you look at our part of the world, the Balkan Peninsula, you see that they identify a Muslim as being a Turk. So actually, they put a nationality on a Muslim. You know, there are even countries in the Balkan, on the Balkan Peninsula, they actually count a Muslim as being Muslim as being having an ethnic background. It's just crazy. It's a little bit like they're trying to connect Islam with a nationality. Mm-hmm. But it cannot work, because Islam is nowadays is a deen all over the world, as you said correctly. I mean, all over the world. There are Greek Muslims nowadays. I mean, this is something I couldn't imagine 20, 30 years ago. I accepted Islam 26 years ago.
26 years ago?
26 years ago, alhamdulillah, which is a long, long time.
Yeah.
And in the meanwhile, I have a family, alhamdulillah. I have 7 children, mashallah. I have 2 boys. The oldest one is 20. He's going to get married very soon, mashallah.
Yeah.
So imagine that, you know, and growing, raising my children, Greek Muslims, basically, mashallah. We're second generation Muslims now, modern age. And I find it exciting whenever I go back to Greece and I'm asked about, like, hey, your name, Stephanos. Steph is an abbreviation of Stephanos, actually. So, but you look like, are you a priest or something? Because the only thing that the Greeks know with a beard is somebody who is a priest or somebody who is religious from the Greek Orthodox perspective. Mm-hmm. And I have to clarify that every time, like, no, I'm a Muslim. It's the other side.
Yeah.
I was even asked if I was a Jew. That also happened. Mm-hmm. But they don't know the Muslims as being bearded people on the Balkan Peninsula. It's mm-hmm. more like the Turks, as they know them. The Turks are more like people who, they don't have a specific appearance, actually. The Jews or the Christians are the ones who have a beard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in contrast to now, to here in the UK or in Europe in general, people know that a Muslim, Muslims normally, or many Muslims have beards. Many Muslims adhere to the Sunnah.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Balkan Peninsula, it's not really that case. That's not really the case. And what you said before is true, that many times there is a verb in Greek. Instead of calling somebody, saying basically that you become Muslim, for them you become a Turk. And if we look at the conflict in Yugoslavia and the war, we can clearly see that they would call Muslims Turks. So let them go back to Turkey where they came from. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. So if you give them another etiquette, another nationality, then obviously everybody's going to say, well, okay, what are the Turks doing in Bosnia? What are the Turks doing in Yugoslavia? What are the Turks doing in Greece? So that's a little bit the narrative behind it and the psychology behind it. So if we dehumanize them or give them another nationality, then we can also justify why we are getting rid of them, why we're killing them even. So it is a very sad situation, actually. It goes very, very deep. It's not just an issue of giving you another identity, but it's an issue of dehumanizing you and getting you out of your nation and nationality that you're actually part of.
You had to go against, that's what I call courage, because you had to go against the odds to, you're going against family, society, culture. So you got to really scrutinize Islam. You really have to confirm that this is the truth from the Creator. It's not just, it's not really in your interest to follow it unless it's the truth. So how did you confirm that really Islam was the truth from the Creator?
Okay, JazakAllah for the question. The question is absolutely great, because indeed it took me 3 years of inner jihad, of inner struggle indeed, to say, yeah, I'm going to say the Shahada now, that's it. I grew up in Germany. As a Greek in Germany, at that time in the 80s, it was absolutely common that a Greek child would go to a Greek primary school. So they had established a lot of Greek primary schools in Germany, and we would go to the Greek primary schools and we would learn our language there. We would grow up as Greeks, you know, our own. We would basically be our own nation within another nation. And we would go to church. There would be a very close link to church at that time, of course. The Greeks would go every Sunday to church, would even perform a theater act, yes. Acts on national days, Greek days, of course. So there was a close link. Church, being a Greek and being connected to the church was like one thing. So I grew up in that kind of sphere. And my parents, although they're not very religious, they're very traditional in a way of cultural. I mean, they are Christians because they are Greeks. That's it. You know, I'm a Greek. I'm a Christian because I'm a Greek. That's it. So they never questioned the religion itself. They never questioned Christianity and Orthodoxy itself. Until I reached, I was around 15, 16, and I started questioning the idea, the life, actually. What does it mean? What is life all about?
So now you start asking those crucial questions.
Absolutely.
What's the purpose of life? Why
am I
here?
Absolutely, absolutely. That was the first question. What's the purpose? What does it mean, actually? I was having fun. I was Greek, and I was going to my mother's home island, and I was having fun, right? I was a tour guide, and I was enjoying life. But once I just thought, like, is this all what there is to life? Partying, going out, you know, having fun. Is this all what there is to life? So I started really wondering, what is there more to life? And it brought me closer to some friends whom I had before, Turkish friends, Arab friends in Germany. I mean, obviously, we grew up with a lot of different nationalities. And I had a lot of Turkish friends. And I always felt closer to them than to the Germans. I always felt closer to the Middle Eastern people than I felt to Germans or Europeans. And I would always say, we Greeks are closer to the Middle Eastern people than we are to the Europeans. Absolutely. And I would say, yeah, don't forget 400 years Ottoman Empire, 500 years Ottoman Empire. Of course, we're very close. But one thing that they never taught me is Islam, that there is something like another deen, another religion out there that we could actually look into. And I didn't pay attention to that until I came across the deen and I found out, actually, what is Christianity? What does it mean? Believe it or not, I didn't know anything about Christianity. I just knew that as a Greek, I have to be Orthodox. I have to believe in Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, being crucified. And that's about it, actually. And this is a connection with Greece, right? And our flag has a cross in there, so we're obviously Christians. That's it. But if you ask me deeper, now, what did it actually mean? What does it mean? I did not know any answer to that.
So people can relate, because that's probably 99.9%
Absolutely.
Of your average person.
Absolutely, especially in the Balkans. I mean, yeah. They all identify themselves with a religion, but the most of them, they don't know the religion.
It's blind, like a blind following. Huh?
It is, absolutely. So I wanted to get out of there. I didn't want to be just a blind follower of something. And I kept asking my mother, why do we do that at church? Why is the church this? What do we actually really believe as Greek Orthodox people? What is the difference to a Catholic? And she couldn't give me the answers because, as I said, they're traditional people, background very, not very educated. So I had to look into books. And growing up in German society, knowing German and Greek quite well, gave me the access to two languages automatically. So I could start reading sources in German as well as sources in Greek. And I saw that they're conflicting and contradicting themselves. I mean, some sources in Greek would say that the Ottomans were terrible people, these Turks. They killed our wives and they raped our wives and killed our children. But there were German sources that were saying exactly the opposite. They were saying, actually, there was a lot of religious freedom under the Ottoman Empire.
Who was saying that now, the religious freedom? Academics who are...
German sources.
Okay, German. So these are non-biased. Now, these are academic sources from the German side.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. In the meanwhile, I was learning English as well. Yeah. So from year 7 in Germany, that time, you would start learning English. So I was also interested into the... What did the English sources have to say, the American sources?
And what are they saying again?
They were saying exactly the same thing, that there was a lot of religious freedom during the time of the Ottomans. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? These people were telling us. I know that my Greek teacher would not lie to me. You know, you're a young child, you believe. But then I found out that they did lie to us. They did lie to us. And I started finding out that actually these myths and these lies that were told to us as children, primary school children, it made me upset. That made me upset, and I was
naturally
angry.
It would, yeah, definitely. People don't like being lied to, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I went back to my parents, and I was like, listen, you know, Bob, Mom, you know actually that this is not entirely true, what we learned, what you learned at school, what I learned at school, because it wasn't very different what my parents learned at school, at Greek school, than to what I learned.
Oh, you're up for a war now.
I was, yes, I was, absolutely. So I told them, listen, I don't believe that. I have a friend who is Ali, you know, he's a Turk. And, you know, come on, I can't believe that his parents did that to us or his ancestors did that to us. That's not true. And my father just said, my mother actually was the one who, my father would just turn around, would just leave. He would not pay me attention. I was like, yeah. Come on, it's a phase, you know, it will go.
Yeah.
But my mother started engaging with me and just telling me, listen, I mean, some things are true, some things are not true.
She's admitting now.
She was admitting certain things. But she would tell me, listen, I mean, history is a difficult, complex thing. But I said, yeah, but I want to know now. Because if they lied to us about what the Ottomans did to us as people, then maybe they also lied about their religion. What about their Islam?
And our salvation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and is it history or his history?
History, yeah, exactly. So what came out was that 3 years I was in, it was really an inner struggle. Okay, this is something, I would wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, sweating, and I would be like, it cannot be. It cannot be that Ali is right.
I want people to really reflect upon this. This is deep because this is not just a decision he's just making for the fun of it. I mean, you got to, again, go against all odds. You're going to be scrutinized. You know, you're going to be outcast. But the heart is connected to finding out the truth and how the story goes from here.
Correctly. I mean, the point of trying to find out the truth was for me more important than being scrutinized and becoming an outsider. I was aware of the fact that I would become an outsider. I knew it because I knew the Greek heart very well and I knew their soul. I knew them. I grew up with them. I knew it. I was once one of them. And I actually was making fun of the Turks because that's what I was taught. But when I grew up, when I was a young adult, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19, I traveled also a lot. I went to Turkey. And I went to a mosque the first time in my life, actually, and that was an eye-opener. That was something. And I started crying. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. I just don't know what happened to me. And I walked out of the mosque, and I was like, there is something here. There is something, a very emotional reaction. Yeah. When I went back to Germany, in the city where I grew up, there was an Islamic center. And I used to go there every Friday. And I would just follow Ruku, sujood. I would just follow them. I would not know what to do and what to say. And I would just follow them. And it made me feel at ease. I liked
doing
the prayer.
Praying like Jesus prayed, like Moses prayed,
absolutely,
like all the messengers
exactly,
of God prayed.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I remember also, I watched once a movie about Jesus, basically, Isa alayhi salam. Then when they showed him praying, being in sujood, and I was like, that's what Muslims do.
That's how the Muslims pray.
That's how the Muslims pray. By the way, if you look at him, the way they portray him with the beards and everything,
he looks like a Muslim.
So
yeah.
You look at his mother wearing hijab.
The hijab. This, yeah.
So you start all this, you put them all together. If you really want to, you can find the truth, I'm telling you. And Allah, he led me, alhamdulillah.
How about now, from all the people, you know, the majority of people that, alhamdulillah, over the years I've been blessed to interview, what really pulls people in is the pure monotheism, what we call the Tawheed. How was it now? Because obviously the belief there is the Trinity and people get confused. But when you talk about just the oneness of God, how is that, the lucid, clear message, simple to digest, easy to understand? You don't have to do a lot of mental gymnastics to make it fit. How was that upon you?
That's very true. That came later.
Yeah.
The first, my initial, as I said, was history.
Okay,
it
history.
Was that I felt I was lied to. So if I was lied to about specific people, and if I was lied to about a specific period of time, then why not about these people's religion? What about these people's beliefs? So that led me closer to these people, the Turks, but then later also to the Arabs and later also to other people. I traveled a lot. And I went to Morocco. My first, after Turkey, I went to Morocco. And I saw that it was not the Muslim who attracted me to Islam. Let's be all clear about it. Because for a while, I started doubting it even more. Because I saw Muslims lying, cheating, being thieves, being criminals. But I looked into the message itself. And this is something that I keep saying every time. Please look into Islam rather than into the Muslims.
Yeah.
The Muslims, unfortunately, are just people, mm-hmm. okay? Or alhamdulillah, whatever. They're humans, and they will make mistakes. It's absolutely normal.
Yeah.
But look into the message, look into Islam. And that's what I did. That's what I tried to focus on. And alhamdulillah, this helped me. I mean, again, history and Islam itself, the simplicity of Islam, as you said, the clarity, actually, rather than simplicity. Simplicity might be very, well, too simple.
Yeah.
But the clarity rather than the simplicity. So it was history as well as Islam's clarity later.
What advice do you have for other people? People, like, they go through life and like you, okay, what's it all about? They've been to the parties, they play, they attain a lot of money, but then they start to think, they ponder, and this is a mercy upon the human being that the person now, they, you know, they're not constantly, opposed to being constantly distracted, finally a light bulb goes on. Sometimes that can last for a short amount of time, but you got to seize the opportunity. So someone who's listening out there, who likes, you know, who's gravitating towards this message, what advice do you have for them? But now they might be Croatian, Greek, Serbian, or whatever else, other background,
yes.
But now the consequences of that decision for them is like too much. They have their communities, you know, they'll be ostracized. What advice, way to substantiate what you're saying, is that the truth? So they don't have to spend 3 years investigating. And then also the obstacle of like, what's my society, parents, you know, my clan is going to say.
It is something you just have to overcome. It is really a difficult issue. It is, especially for our people from the Balkans. It is, because they identify, as I said before, identity is basically your religion and your nationality. It goes together. So yes, for a Croat, for a Serb, for a Greek to become Muslim is a massive thing. It's a massive thing. You leave. You have to be ready to leave anything that makes you Greek behind, according to them. But you have to also understand that you yourself have to understand that you do not lose this ethnicity. I'm still Greek,
yeah.
And I will most probably I will die Greek.
You didn't change your DNA.
Absolutely. And there was a time, and this is something we have to be careful about. There was a time for me for a year or two where I hated being Greek, and I looked down to the nation of Greece. I really thought that, they're keeping me back. They're keeping me back from developing as a Muslim. I wanted to be a Muslim, but I could not see me being a Muslim and a Greek. It didn't fit together. So I wanted to get rid of the Greekness in me. And I see it. I see it nowadays. I've met brothers. I've met other people from the Balkan Peninsula who have this ideology, who have this idea that for a while they stop speaking Serbo-Croatian, for example. They stop speaking
the
language.
You don't have to do that, right?
Absolutely not. But this is a process of 26 years, alhamdulillah. And after 26 years, indeed, the advice is look into the sources, look into what Islam means. Look, actually, you have a creator. The creator did not distinguish between a Croat and a Serb and a Greek. That's what we did. The borders are at this moment, look, Yugoslavia. 20 years ago, there was Yugoslavia. There was no Bosnia. Now there's a Bosnia, there's a Croatia, there's Slovenia. This all can change within no time. But being a Muslim, having submitted yourself to Allah, to the will of Allah, having submitted to that, that's what it means being a Muslim. You had to submit because my arm is a Muslim already. I cannot turn it further than it goes. That's a Muslim. Automatically, you have to be a Muslim, actually, as a person, as a human being. There is no other choice. You know, people say we have choices. Yes, you have choices, what to drink, what to eat, what to do, where to go. But the choice, you are a Muslim automatically already. We believe in the fitra, right? You come out as a Muslim, and the parents change you, right?
In the natural state.
That's it. So I'm going back. I have gone actually back to natural state. And when you understand that, then it doesn't matter if the Greeks don't think that you're part of them anymore, if the Bosnians don't think that you're part of the Serbs or whoever. It doesn't really matter. And that really requires courage, yes. It does require courage, yeah, and strength. And strength you can just get when you find out more about your deen. You find out more about Islam, you find out what it means, what it actually really means, and you become strong. And that's just when you can fight society, because you fight societies, absolutely. That's exactly what you're doing. You're fighting. I'm still fighting after 26 years. Still, my parents don't want to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we speak about Islam, it's, let's talk about something else. Okay? I go to Greece and I cannot openly declare I'm a Muslim. I cannot do that. It's just when we talk with people sitting at the table, you know, discussing issues, being offered pork to eat, being offered, you know. So all this is still an issue. We should understand. I have to understand also, and I'm telling myself also very often, after 26 years, I changed. but society around me hasn't. Mm-hmm. They still believe the same myths and lies that they believed 26 years ago, that I believe too. Mm-hmm. So it is a struggle. I'm not going to say, and Allah says himself in the Quran, listen, do you really think that Allah is not going to test you? Of course he's going to test me. And this is my test at this moment. Another thing that is very important for a man, I must say, especially coming from our areas, I loved women, and I still love women, alhamdulillah. I mean, I love my wife. So it's important to get married. Get married, establish a home, have children, raise them in the deen. See how beautiful it is, okay? See how beautiful the deen is, how beautiful your home is with the deen.
Yeah.
How different it is to the deen, to the home that I knew before without the deen. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. So this, if you have this, then you're not going to give this up.
That's an important point you mentioned. So if you're a Serb, you don't change now from being a Serb to a Bosnian. You still stay Serb. If you're a Greek, you don't change it to a Turk. You're still Greek. You have just chosen to put God Almighty, the Creator, Allah, first, and now you've chosen to submit your will to the Creator, the one God, and that equals Muslim. One word sums it up. Muslim. That's it.
Right.
And that's very important, because we're almost out of time, is to clear up. So for the Greeks out there, Serbians, Croatians, whoever is out there, and they have this misconception and they see someone who's accepted to submit their will to God and they label them Turk, we've cleared that up. And you're a testimony right here, someone who has chosen to submit his will to the Creator of the heavens and earth, doing Islam. And now you're still Greek, you're also German.
I'm also German. And you're also
the author. You become this drove you so much, so far, that you became the author of this book, The Islamic History of Europe.
It's going to be printed, inshallah. It's going to be published, inshallah, in Ramadan.
Yeah.
So whoever is interested in the Islamic history of Europe, how has Islam entered Europe, and how has become actually part of Europe?
So, yeah. Thank you so much, Sheikh, for being with us. We're out of time. Thank you for being on the Deen Show.
Thank you very much.
And thank you guys for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you back here every week on the Deen Show. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.